Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Florida Council of the Blind Banquet Scholarship Celebration and Auction Night for our 73rd anniversary for FCB. I would like to thank Natalie Couch, who is our Zoom host. I believe Bell Collins is our streamer this evening. And I believe that Ryan Cordell is our in-house Zoom support. So thank you for everything you guys are doing. We really appreciate it. I'm going to introduce the head table, and then I'm going to turn the microphone over to Mr. President. you're still going to be up here. Anyway, all right, to my far left is President's mother, Miss Sophia Wiseman. Yay! To her right will be Mikey Wiseman, who is the FCB president. To his right is Mary Tyson, who is one of the members of the scholarship committee. Next to Mary will be Delore Gintreau, who is another member of the scholarship committee. And to the left of the podium is Alicia Edson, who is one of the scholarship recipients, scholarship member. Also, one member of our committee who is not at the head table because she chooses not to is Debbie Grubb. I want to thank Debbie for everything she does for the committee. And then to the right of the podium is Sheila Seat. To the right of me is my sister, Patty Cordell, my best friend. To her right is our officer liaison from ACB, Connie Sims. To her right is our wonderful guest speaker for this evening, Ted Henter. And to his right is his daughter, Elizabeth. And I apologize, I did not get your last name, Elizabeth. Oh, also Henter. Okay, good. I could have gotten away with that one, huh? So, all right, Connie Sims is going to give the blessing, and then Mikey Wiseman would like to say a few things.
All right, everyone, can I have your attention and bow your heads? Dear Lord, bless this gathering and all our participations. We are here, we're honored to be here together to learn, to respect, and honor everyone that is here and everything that we learn. Bless this food and bless our friendships and the new friendships, and let us honor the ones that have passed this year. So please guide us through the convention with honor and respect for decision making. This I pray, amen.
All right, now it's my pleasure to turn the microphone over to Mr. Wiseman for a few announcements.
Mary Tyson requested that I sing a song. Before I welcome everybody, Natalie Couch, can you hear me?
Yes.
Do we have a Charlie in the Zoom room?
Yes, he's here.
Okay, great. Charlie, we'll be with you in just a second. Folks, as president of the Florida Council of Blind, it really does fill my heart with so much pride to see this room with so many friends, so many colleagues, everybody here for the same cause. We all look great, by the way. We really have put ourselves together. We would fool a lot of people if they could see us right now. I want to thank everybody from ACB who continues to provide us ongoing support. Those of you listening on the stream, we hope that you enjoy the program that we've put together under Sheila's leadership. This is such a special night where we recognize future leaders, acknowledge the efforts and the accomplishments of young adults through school and education, which we know empowers so many people with visual impairments to succeed. So thank you all so much for being here and supporting us. And let's give each other and ourselves a huge round of applause. You want me to give it to Leslie? You want me to hand it to Leslie?
Yeah.
Folks, I'm gonna. It's my pleasure to hand the microphone over to a woman who does so much for FCB and ACB and all of us individually, and is always making sure that there's treats not too far from any of us. Sweet treats, usually. And we appreciate her efforts, Dan's efforts, Miss Leslie Spoon.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. So I just want to say thank you to everybody that has done so much for FCB sponsoring. We have four sponsors tonight to speak real quickly. We have two gold sponsors for $1,000, and we have two silver sponsors tonight for $500. We have Charlie Kenyon from Democracy Live that's going to speak first, that gave us the wonderful bags. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Charlie and Michelle and Brian. We really appreciate them. And then Sheila's going to speak on behalf of her son that's sponsored from LC Electric as a silver sponsor. And then Lighthouse for $1,000 is going to speak. Guillermo, sorry if I messed that up. Thank you so much. And then Vanda, Vicky Preddy, our friend from Vanda, with Ice Cream Oys. I don't know if she brought us some ice cream, maybe. So I'm going to turn it over to the Zoom. Do I need to say anything for the Zoom, Mikey? Sheila, do I need to say
anything? So would you like me to begin?
Yes, please. Thank you, Charlie, for being here.
Great. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. This is Charlie Canoon here from Democracy Live. Welcome, Florida Council. We appreciate you so much, and we are honored to continue to sponsor your convention. And we sure hope that your banquet goes well tonight. I think it's really, really important that we are looking at our elections as 2026 is looming large, and the November elections are right around the corner. And so access to the ballot should be at the top of everyone's list. And we appreciate your interest in accessible voting. We have had a relationship with the state of Florida for quite some time now. And we are happy to report that we serve a large number of the population in Florida for the accessible absentee at-home balloting portal, which we are extremely proud of. And so I want you to know that I speak to your peers around the country all the time. In fact, I was on a meeting last night with people from Virginia, ACB of Virginia, Doug Powell, and Roseanne Ashby. And we teamed up with a couple members from NFB in New Jersey to discuss different ways of going about bringing change. New Jersey has a couple of bills in the legislative meat grinder right now, and they're on the front lines of battling legislation and pushing legislation through the committee and into the General Assembly. So it was a very, very interesting conversation that we had. One of the things that we're finding out is, and I find out all the time when I talk to people around the country, is the security issue. That's the very first thing that will come up when you discuss electronic ballot transmission is security. But funny thing is, just about every single method of voting, the question of security has come up, and it should. Security should be at the top of everybody's list. We happen to believe at Democracy Live that accessibility drives security. And it is really, really important that we get the ballot to you, and the security has to take place alongside of that. And we are working really, really hard to do that at Democracy Live for sure. So, The Omni Ballot Accessible Balloting Portal is the most independently reviewed and tested technology in the United States elections. In 2024 alone, Omni Ballot was independently tested by over 800 vetted cybersecurity researchers across 1,600 hours of testing. The system is independently tested and monitored 365 days a year. Omni Ballot has been reviewed by a federally approved elections laboratory to meet all required security best practices to secure document and ballot transmission. So we want you to know that security is number one on our mind, and we are putting a lot of our company's resources into making sure that your independent and private ballot is secure. It's number one on our list. And one of the, you know, one of the interesting things is it's not only the election officials and the elected officials that we are answering to, but it's fellow advocacy groups that you work with on a daily basis that are not in favor of this a kind of electronic ballot return. Now in Florida, you all have electronic ballot delivery, where the ballot is delivered to you. If you want to vote at home, it is delivered to you electronically. But after you mark it, you have to print the ballot. Once you have to hit print, then all accessibility stops. And so we currently work with about 37 of the 50 states right now in various ways. And about 8 of those states use electronic ballot return. So if you have friends in Massachusetts, if you have friends in West Virginia, Rhode Island, Indiana, those are states that you could call up and find out, hey, how is this working for you? And I encourage you to work hard at trying to take the next step from electronic ballot delivery to electronic ballot return. And I will make sure that I send off our security protocols to Sheila and to Leslie, so she can so they can share this our security protocols out. We partner with AWS, Amazon Web Services, and they also host the same cloud environment that has been approved by the CIA, FBI, Homeland Security, and the National Security Agency. So we're working really, really hard and making sure that your ballot is secure from top to bottom. So again, I just wanted to say hi. We're proud of the relationship that we have with Florida Council of the Blind. We know that you guys are doing great things down there, and many, many, many people count on you. And I recognize a lot of names out there, and I tip my cap to the advocates out there that work hard for the greater good. So thank you very much, everybody. Have an outstanding convention. Have a good banquet tonight. And if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact me at charlie@democracylive.com. And again, Leslie and Sheila Young have that contact information. So thank you very much, everybody, and have a good convention.
Thank you, Charlie, and Democracy Live for all you guys do for us. Thank you so, right. So much. And thank you for being on Zoom. We appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. And we just want to acknowledge Sheila's son and Sheila with LC Electric as being another sponsor, for a silver sponsor. So thank you. Let's give them a big applause. Okay. All right. And now we're going to listen from Vicky Preddy from, did I say that right? Sorry. Oh, good. Yay. For $1,000 sponsorship with a gold sponsorship from Vanda. Thank you so, so much. We can do without you.
You're welcome. Thank you. So I'm just going to take a couple minutes. That's going to be it. I want to say a couple things first. The food smells really good. Does it taste as good? And Mikey Wiseman was so right. This is a really good looking crowd. Yeah, it's big and it's Mikey Wiseman was right. So kudos to you guys. My name is Vicky, Leslie pronounced it correctly, Pretty. I'm a registered nurse educator with Vanda Pharmaceuticals, and this is my sixth convention. I went back and looked. Yeah. And very good, huh? And I've been with the company 6 years, so every year I'm here. But I am here to raise awareness of non-24-hour sleep wake disorder. That's what I do. I'm an educator. I'm not a pharmaceutical rep. But what is non-24? It's a circadian rhythm disorder that develops when somebody doesn't have enough light perception to set their circadian clock every day. I'm not going to go into all the details, but you can learn more about it if you come see me at my exhibit. And I am, if you walk straight through, I am right there. So right across from Florida Vision, but once you walk through those doors, I am straight ahead. But just quickly, non-24 is a circadian rhythm disorder that disrupts people's sleep. And it primarily occurs in people with total blindness, but it can happen in those with low vision as well. And that means when you have non-24, you might have problems falling asleep, you might have problems staying asleep, you might be really sleepy during the day, really active at night. So if that sounds like you or somebody you know and you want to learn more, stop by my booth and get some free resources, and I can help you get connected with more information that we have about non-24. Okay, so that's it. Oh, will we address one other thing? So you said something about ice cream, right?
Ice cream.
Okay.
Ice cream.
So we'll be at the national convention, and I'll be there, and I believe we are going to have ice cream. So if no other reason, you can come by and see me for that. And I would never want to try to outdo tiramisu anyway. So, all right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Let's give Vicky a big round of applause. Go see her. She has been truly a wonderful, wonderful friend to FCB, guys. So thank you, Vicky. 6 years, hey, you told me what I didn't know. All right. And Lighthouse is here as a gold sponsor, also Lighthouse Central Florida. Thank you so, so much. Thank you. Guillermo. And I don't see him. Are you? Okay. There you go. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Oh, that's my cane.
Oh, sorry.
There you go. Thank you.
No, thank you. Just a second. Down. Okay. Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here in this fantastic banquet with the Council for the Blind, Florida Council for the Blind. And it's a special honor to be representing Lighthouse Central Florida. For some of you, probably, I don't know if everybody knows, but we here in Central Florida, we are actually two organizations. Lighthouse Central Florida, which pretty much is their rehabilitation agency, and we have the Lighthouse Works, which is the social enterprise where we offer roles, position for everybody, and especially, of course, people who are blind, visually impaired. The main area and the main line of business that we have is the contact center, the call center. We have also technology services. We are part of National Industry for the Blind. So we also have assembling and packing supply chain services. But rather than being talking about Lighthouse, and by the way, and Lighthouse Central Florida is the rehabilitation agency for Central Florida on all surrounded areas. So rather than being talking about facts and statistics and what we do, I'm gonna tell you really quick a little bit about my story, and that way probably you could relate why I consider the Lighthouse Central Florida and Lighthouse Works is an amazing organization. So I born and raised in a different country, in South America and Venezuela. Back there, I grew up being legally blind. I were diagnosed at a very early stage with retinitis pigmentosa. And I grew up without any peripheral vision, but kind of a decent central vision. However, I came to this country 13 years ago, and when I came, my vision started being decreasing. And quite honest, I always say that being blind and being new in a country with a new culture, with everything new, is probably the worst combination to look for a job. However, during a period of maybe of 10 years, I were able to develop a career path completely new for me. I mean, back in the days, I worked as an economist in Venezuela, the country that I work, that I born and raised. But here I struggled to, find my way, find, the way that speed up and get to the point that I left when I left the country. So after a certain period of time, like I say, I were able to find a new career path. I became a philanthropy officer for an organization in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. But at that time, probably at the same time, I started losing my central vision. And with that, I lost the capacity to use the computer in the regular way. So because of that, I lost my job, actually. Thanks God, I were able to secure another job with the Industry for the Blind and Visually Impaired in Milwaukee with a humongous pay cut. But at least that was something, what they have available at that time. But unfortunately, if anyone is familiar with that, I work for the furniture department, and they decide to close the department. So they give me about a year and a half, 2 years, to finish all the projects, around $25 million in projects, and that will be all. I mean, my position will be eliminated. So I moved back to Miami, I start working remotely, and trying to find another job to replace this one. I connect with barely anybody I know. I have a very good network within the, I will say, the blind community, like I like to say. And even though I weren't able to find anything, finally, thanks to a previous CEO of the Lighthouse Central Florida, Lena Sihi, I get connected to people at the organization. I interview with the Chief Operation Officer, Ryan Brown. And after a few weeks, he say, okay, we're gonna open a position that you could be a good fit. So I apply, long story short, I get the job. And what I think that is fantastic is that they never really care about my recent experience. They never care about, of course, being blind has a limitation. They always see being blind as something that could bring more to the table. And that's an organization, honestly, where everything you do, your whole potential is what really matter for you to grow. So my invitation to anyone, if you are local, so, and you need any help with rehabilitation, Lighthouse Central Florida. Actually, I have received a lot of help, a lot of support with accessible technology, retraining, orientation and mobility, everything you need. And one of the greatest things that we have at Lighthouse Works is that we offer remote roles in the call center, and you can grow from there. So if you or anyone you know is looking for the next step in your career, I really will invite you to reach out to us and find your way in your new career, or like I say, anyone you know that is looking for that. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Very glad to be here tonight.
All right, thank you to all our sponsors again, and thank you to everybody for being here. Mikey or Sheila, who gets this? There you go. I'm done.
Thank you. All right, everybody, finish your meal, and then we will get on with our scholarship presentations.
Oh, now everybody gets quiet. You're killing it. That was me. You're killing it. I didn't get tiramisu. I did not. That was the purpose of the joke. much.
All right, everybody. Marcos is feeling very lonely out there. So you might want to drink with your meal. So go say hi to him and don't make him lonely.
I've never known you guys to not drink. Hey, Katie. I moved your walker over by me. So, whenever, yeah. Okay. Have fun. Good.
Thank you. You guys, anything else? Anything? One more second? No. Thank you.
All right. I would like very much if I could get everybody's attention. How was your meal? Aren't these guys fabulous here? They're led by one of the kindest managers and assistant managers. I'm not sure what Luz's title is, but Jenna and Luz have been phenomenal to work with. So now we're going to come to the part of our presentation for our scholarship recipients. We are thrilled to know that all three of our recipients are with us this evening. So we're going to start with our Timothy Turpin Scholarship, and Delore Gintaro is going to present that. So, Delore, you want to come up here? You want the microphone? Which one? Yeah. Which one, sir? Okay, thank you. Hang on, I can't get around a puppy dog. Here you go, sir. To your right.
You got it? Okay.
Thank you very much, Sheila. Appreciate the introduction. I want to say hello to everybody in the crowd. It's a nice convention so far. And yes, the hotel staff is great. I'm here to present the Timothy Turpin Scholarship. I'll do that in a moment, but I'd like to explain that the Timothy Turpin Scholarship is for those seniors who are graduating and going on to college the following fall. And our recipient, of course, met that requirement, as well as a high GPA and involving in sports. And he wants to be a doctor of physical therapy. So without further comment on my part, I'd like the 2026 recipient of the Timothy Turpin Award, Alan Addison, to come up, and his dad is in the audience as well, Eric. Addison, I want to congratulate you.
Thank you.
Who's got the check?
In my hand.
Oh. Where's it?
Here, Delore, you want to give it to him?
Yeah.
Reach out to your right. Here, Alicia, hand it to him. Alicia.
I got it.
Oh, there you are.
Thank you very much. Sorry for the delay here. The scholarship is worth $1,000, and I'm glad to present this to Addison Allen. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
And all the best to you. All the best to you in your endeavors.
Thank you, sir.
Say something, Addison.
I'm
going
to say something?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we're going to have him say a few words.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Addison. Thank you, everybody, for coming today, and thank you to the committee for awarding me this scholarship. It's truly a blessing. As he said, I want to go to. I'll be attending Howard University in the fall. yes, sir. to pursue my Doctor of Physical Therapy degree. I'd love to move on past college to work with maybe a professional sports team or two and build my brand as a physical therapist, working with athletes, you know, helping people with rehabilitation and performance. And it's truly a blessing. These types of things are truly the steps I need to take in order to be the person that I want to be in the future. And I thank the committee for understanding that and giving me the gift. And yeah, it's a blessing. And thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
There you go, sir. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Congratulations, Addison. All right, our next scholarship is going to go for the Teresa Blessing Scholarship, and this goes to a college attendee, so they have to already be in school. And to present this one is Miss Alicia Edson.
Hi, everyone. I am so privileged and honored to be able to present Teresa Blessing to a wonderful, wonderful guy that we got to meet and award tonight. He is going to the University of North Florida. He has two majors, not just one, two. And the first one is accounting, and the second is finance. So step aside, Mark Lear. We have our new treasurer. Woo-hoo! So let me introduce to you Logan Cake. Come on up. We are going to give him $1,500.
I thank all of you for coming out. Thank you for your support. And thank you just for all coming together for the best. And she said a lot of what I'm doing. It's great. Can't beat that Addison speech.
Congratulations, Lynn.
Thank you.
Congratulations. And our third scholarship this year goes to the recipient of the Galen Cross Edwards Scholarship. This individual has to be attending school and has to have a 3.2 GPA. And this young lady, I'm going to call her a young lady, she's probably going to argue with me, but anyway, I'm going to have Mary Tyson introduce her. So, Mary, you want to come up here? Or you want the mic?
No, because my puppy's asleep.
So. Here, okay.
Hand it down. There you go.
I apologize for not standing up and being more professional, but my dog is asleep, and I would really like him to stay that way. So. This is really very exciting, and I really want her to tell you a little bit about herself because I was so excited. The city of Tallahassee came up, and we bonded immediately. I really want her to tell you a little bit about why she is going to school. She has an entrepreneurial spirit, and she is so enthusiastic, and I wish I lived closer to her because I think we would be really good friends, and maybe we can be anyway. So I would like to congratulate Ms. Shara Wright. Yeah. Shara, I got your money, girl. You better hurry up. It's burning a hole in my pocket. And Shara will be receiving $2,000. So here is the check. Here's the check.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And we have a plaque for you, but I'm going to give you the microphone because I'd like you to say a couple of words.
Sure.
And then I'm going to have Patty read the plaque.
It's so nice to finally meet you in person. Okay. Good evening, everyone. So I don't even think I fit into that category of the, like, young adults and whatever, but I'm close enough. My journey started, I'm originally from Sacramento, California, and honestly, in high school, I was more excited about meeting up with my friends after class. I never really desired to, it wasn't that I didn't want anything for myself, I was young, and I just didn't care, I'm sorry. But, so I graduated high school, y'all never believe this, I graduated high school with a 2.3 GPA. A C average, okay? A C average. Nowadays, I am advocating for myself, I'm telling the teacher, like, I need 0.54 points until I get an A. Where are we gonna find them at? And now I just received my first 4.0. Yeah. And it was hard fought. Business calculus is something else. Logan, you might need to help me one day. And I just, I'm on campus, I'm advocating, I'm letting people. Oh, I'm sorry. Right now I attend Valencia College, and in about a year, I will be transferring to Florida A&M University in Tallahassee. And you know, for people who have ever thought about giving up, let me tell you about my first semester in college. The very first week of school, I'm headed to school. I got my first day of school clothes on. Got my jazzy cane, I'm ready to go. I walk in class like, here I am, and the whole class is full, and the teacher's in the middle of an instruction. And he said, we'll talk after class. So he comes to me and he says, why weren't you here last week? I said, they told me classes started today? And he said, no, classes started last week. And I was like, oh, shoot. I was like, I'm already starting a week behind. And, you know, we worked things out, and then on the last day of my first semester of college, my best friend, my dear sweet mother passed away, and I literally thought I was going to crumble. I was just like, you know, everything in God's timing, though, because I had 3 weeks off after that, and I had the chance to pull myself together. And from that point on, I've been my professors will tell you, I'm unstoppable. I come on campus, I'm ready to learn. I don't have time to meet with you all in study groups. I don't have time to go out to a bar and have a drink. I'm all about academics. And it's just, it might not be everyone's path to wait 25 years to go back to college. But for me, it was. I needed this drive. I woke up one morning and I literally said to my daughter, I said, I want to go to college and I want to register now. And by the end of that week, I was coming in for the summer semester. And I just want to, just to be an encouragement to people, stop saying, what if? And start saying, why not? I thank you for your time this evening. And have a fantastic night.
We're going to read the plaque that she receives.
Hey, this is Patty. The Florida Council of the Blind presents the Gail M. Krause Edwards Scholarship to Shira Wright for Excellence in Scholarship and Leadership, awarded May 15th, 2026, Mikey Wiseman President.
Congratulations.
All right. All right. Now, we have... A ride share. There's a story behind that. Now we do have a little presentation, not presentation, but as excuse me, Mr. President. We do love each other, guys. These three individuals receive a year scholarship to the ACB Students Association. And the president of the ACB Students Association is here with us tonight. So I'm going to have Ricardo Salazar, which I never say his last name right, but I think I just did. I'm going to have Ricardo to say a few words.
There you go, bud.
Here you go.
Hello? Can I be heard? Yes. Well, hi, everyone. My name is Ricardo Salazar. I am the president of the student affiliate, ACB Students. I just want to say congratulations to all the scholarship winners tonight. You guys are amazing. And just on behalf of my organization, just wanted to say, hello, congratulations to all of you. And if you guys want to get some, extra resources, get into advocacy with all with the students, just email me. What is my email? My email is president@acbstudents.org. Thank you so much, and congratulations to all.
And we have to pay your dues. So, all right. Well, congratulations. Let's give them all a hand again, please. Now, what I would like to do is introduce our guest speaker for this evening. Ted Henter is going to speak with us this evening about his life story in 100 words or less. No, I don't think it'll take. I think it'll be a few more words than 100. Anyway, about his motorcycle history, his water skiing, and then tomorrow at 10 a.m. he will be talking with us about his history with Maryland Technology and Freedom Scientific, as he is Henter of Henter and Joyce. So please give Ted Henter a round of applause. Right here to my left. Forward. And here's the microphone. Right here, buddy. Just right here. And you're fine. Unfortunately, there's not a microphone stand.
That's quite all right.
So you're going to have to hold it.
Not a problem. Thank you all for inviting me here. It's a real honor and a pleasure to be with all you blind people. And even some that aren't blind. Set timer for 15 minutes. I hope that worked.
You got as much time as you need.
I just set the timer to remind me to speak about something else. I was born and raised in the Panama Canal Zone, which, as most of you know, is a part of Central America. It was just like a piece of the United States plunked right down in a foreign country. But I didn't know I was in a foreign country until I was about 10 years old, because everybody spoke English and everybody looked like me. But it was a very wonderful place to grow up. And so I got involved in things like water skiing when I was 5 years old. I started surfing when I was 13. I raced go-karts when I was 10 or 12. And I got a motorcycle when I was 16. And that's what I really wanted to do for the rest of my life, was race motorcycles. And I did quite a bit of it. I raced professionally for 5 years, 72 to 78. And then I really loved it. I was doing what I wanted. I was making enough money to get by, having a great time. Obviously, I was fully sighted. And I think, well, I broke a lot of bones, about 10. In one crash, I broke a collarbone, a wrist, an ankle, and I cracked a vertebrae. And I think God was trying to give me a message. You know, this is not the career you want to be in. And sure enough, in my attempt to race in Europe and join the World Championship, I was in eighth place in the World Championship at the time, and I had a car accident, my fault. And that's when I was blinded, because that wasn't going to heal, not like a broken collarbone, you know. So that was God's way of saying, hey, find something else to do. So I wonder what I was going to do. I had an engineering degree from the University of Florida. And my DBS counselor, Division of Blind Services, he says, well, you know, you've already got an engineering degree. Why don't you go into programming, computer programming? And I thought, well, that's a good idea. I've had one or two courses already. And thank God for a DBS. Because that older gentleman is what really got me on the track I was in. So I went to the University of South Florida to talk to the dean. He said, I want to be a computer scientist. And when I walked in with my white cane and my counselor, he says to me, thank you for coming, but I don't want any blind people in my class. Just like that. You know, I'd only been there for 30 seconds. And he says, I had a blind guy here a few years ago, and he took a lot of my time and slowed the class down. So I don't want any more. Now, keep in mind, that was 1980. That was before the ADA. And that was before access technology. You know, there were no talking computers. There was Braille and Bossers, but nothing else. So I went home, pretty much tail between my legs, and I thought about it. Then I realized, well, there's another college right down the road from where I lived here in St. Petersburg. It was a USF branch campus. So I went there one evening because it was night courses. And the professor said, well, yeah, we'll give it a try. And he told me to sit in the front row and turn on my tape recorder, which I brought with me. And then he asked for volunteers. And I got the best screen reader ever. Her name was Ann Savella. She was a student. And so we sat together, and she would read the screen, and I would suggest what we should do. And the professor let us work together, but he tested us separately. And so I did quite well there. And through a friend of a friend, my wife's employer's husband came to dinner one night, and we got to talking about computers and inventions and stuff, and he offered me a job. And I wasn't qualified to be a computer programmer on the job. But I told him, well, thank you very much. I'll come to work for 8 or 10 hours a day, but I'm only going to charge you for what I think I'm productive. So I learned a lot there. And I worked there for a year and a half. But the biggest thing that did for me was I met Dean Blasey. Now, some of your older people might remember Dean as the Braille and Speak.
Yes, sir.
So I went to work for him up in Maryland because he was making talking computers. And I learned, that's where I got my honorary PhD in computer science, working with Dean and Mike Romeo. Have you heard of the Romeo Brailler? So that was great. I loved working like that, being an engineer and sort of a mechanic since I was a kid. I really liked that, creating software. And then they went out of business. I had to look for a job. I met this guy, Bill Joyce, a blind fellow with a lot of money. And he suggested we start our company. And then I invented the name JAWS, the big shark. At that point in time, 1986, there was a product on the market called Flipper. And y'all have heard of Flipper, the dolphin, the porpoise? Well, just out of the top of my head, I said, hey, let's call it Jaws. He's a Flipper. So nobody liked that, of course. But I kept saying, we're going to make Jaws. Jaws will be out in August. Jaws will do this. Jaws will do that. And finally, it kind of grew on us. So somebody asked me, what does a big shark have to do with software for blind people? Well, that's when I had to come up with job access with speech. So that was... But see, all along here, what I learned in motorcycle racing, every time I had a crash and broke something, I would, heal up and get back on the motorcycle and keep going, because I was bound and determined to be a motorcycle racer. And that taught me a lot about software and running a business, helping other people. And It was a good education, even though it was somewhat painful sometimes. So I get a lot of credit for JAWS, and I did start the company with Bill Joyce's money. But the real JAWS was successful because, well, I was blind. Glenn Gordon, who was our chief technical officer, was blind. Jerry Bowman was sighted, but he liked what we were doing, doing good things for blind people. Eric Damery was sighted, and he liked the same thing, helping blind people. His father was blind. So it's a real team effort, and I learned that I didn't have to do everything. I just had to be smart enough to hire the right kind of people to get the job done. And that turned out really well. I ran the company for 13 years and sold it in 2001. So that was a great experience, developing software and all that kind of stuff. But along the way, I did a lot of other things, sports-wise. I had been a water skier since I was 5 years old, and I wanted to go back and compete. So after I was blinded, I started water skiing, competing in water ski contests, disabled water ski contests. I skied in Norway and in London, and Ohio, and I won the world championships that year in Ohio, 1991. Yeah. So anyway, I won the gold in slalom, trick, and jump. Now, if you're a water skier, you know how to slalom. I'm not skiing on one ski. The sighted skier goes around the buoys, but a blind skier goes across the wake. That's not hard. So, trick skiing, you got to do a few tricks, like turn around, go backwards, and jump over the wake and turn around. And so I did some very minor tricks, but it was good enough to win the gold. The really scary thing about competing in a water ski tournament, you got to do all three events: slalom, trick, and jump. So the jump, you go over a ramp. It's probably about 20 feet long and about 4 feet out of the water. One end's in the water, the other end's out. So it's angled up. And the boat approaches it, and the boat goes to the right of the jump, and the blind skier, with the sighted guide, the blind skier is out to the left of the boat, and the sighted guide is on the right of the blind skier, holding on to an elbow. And the sighted skier lines you up with a ramp and then says, okay, get ready, 3, 2, 1, freeze. then the blind skier hits the ramp. And that's the scariest thing. But, I hit the ramp a few times, you fell down on the ramp. Because the ramp is got water running over it, and it's slipperier than the regular water. So when you hit the ramp, you're actually going faster than the boat. And so you sail up or you come down. But the good news is there's nothing to crash into except more water, so it doesn't really hurt. The funny thing about that, though, as soon as you go off the end of the ramp, you're falling. Well, your ear is telling you, hey, we're falling, do something. Well, of course, if you can't see the horizon, you don't know that. And if you can't see at all, you just don't know that. So it's real scary initially, until you get the use of the idea that you're not going to get hurt no matter what. So that was a lot of fun. I won the gold in that too. So I won the world championship in 91. I also wanted to do something with martial arts. My wife was a brown belt before we got married. My daughter Elizabeth, who's sitting over here to my right, she's a two-time black belt in martial arts. And my other two... My other two daughters are quite active in sports and successful. So I said, well, I got to do something about this. I got three daughters and a wife that are very talented as sports people. So I did take a lot of martial arts lessons, and I did get a brown belt. But I got beat up so badly that I decided not to do any more. And then the other thing I really like doing, well, I learned how to snow ski. Of course, a lot of us here in this room have snow skied, and that's a lot of fun. And I had a great time doing that until I crashed one time and broke my collarbone. So I figured, well, Yeah. In fact, that one, it was the second time I broke that collarbone. So I've had three broken collarbones. I know that sounds kind of funny to have three, but I don't think I didn't set my timer right. So there's another very interesting thing you all might want to hear about, and that's the race through the Panama Canal. In 1954, the Boy Scouts started this race from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean through the Panama Canal. Now, the Panama Canal is like 50 miles long and about, well, the Panama Canal zone is 50 miles long and 10 miles wide. And in that zone is the canal itself. The canal itself ranges from, each lock is 110 feet wide, and the narrowest part of the other parts of the channel is about 500 feet. But it's cut, the cut is cut right through mountains, or not mountains, but hills, 500, 600 feet hill, high hills. And so as a Boy Scout and as an adult, I've done that race in what's called a cayuco, which is a dugout canoe, 30 feet long approximately, and carries four people. Some less, some more, but the official event is for four people per race. Male, female, and co-eds. It's a great race. My daughter was first place female boat a few years ago, wow. 10 years ago. And the best I ever did was second. Twice. So, but that's a really interesting event. That's all. It's all over the internet. You can Google that. And what I learned from a lot of these events was, especially the motorcycle racing, where I, after I crashed and broke a few bones, I had to get back on the motorcycle. Now I didn't have to. A lot of people said, "Well, are you done now?" No. Because I just wanted to go racing. And then when this guy at the University of South Florida told me that, hey, I don't want any blind people in my class, I went home and sat and thought about it a bit, and I realized, why should I let him decide what I'm going to do next? I want to get back on that motorcycle. And what I learned from all that, after I got to thinking about it, was sometimes when people try to tell you, no, you can't do that, well, then that's just a stop sign.
That's right.
Or you can still take a detour and just take a different route to get to where you want to go. And so instead of spending 2 or 3 years getting a computer science degree, I got a job. And I learned just as much or more on the job, and I loved it. It was great fun. So thank you all very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Wow. I don't know anything about Ted Hunter, but I just learned a lot, and I can't wait to hear tomorrow's presentation, because I was telling my sister earlier, I was late coming into the computer world. I didn't even learn computers until 2000, so I was low vision my whole life and had no clue. And when I learned about JAWS, I went into heaven in computers, so needless to say, I'm really big on the computer now. But I didn't know anything about Hunter Joyce, so I'm very excited about him being here. So what do you guys say? All right, everybody, this is the end of this evening. 7:55 in the morning, you need to be in this room for opening session, and that is going to be the beginning of our convention. Ha ha.
They can pay for their items in the back.
You can
right
pay.
The back door is where they pick up their items and pay for it.
All right. At the back of the room, you can pick up your items and pay for them at the back door. So thank you, everybody, for being here. And see you tomorrow.
Mike, he wants the mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is one person who does, it really does take a village.
And with everything that she does for FCB, there is one thing that she never wants to let go of because she loves it. And it is that to be the chair and the lead for the education leadership. This entire night, an agenda was put together by Ms. Sheila Young. She does it from the bottom of her heart, which is bottomless. Ladies and gentlemen, please give her a thank you, warm of applause.